The first scripture reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 10 to chapter 62, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10 to Isaiah chapter 62, verse 3. Shall we hear the word of God? I rejoice in the Lord. I exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and wrapped me in his robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom wears a turban and a bride adores herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its growth, and as the garden enables what is sown to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Chapter 62. I will not keep silent because of Zion, and I will not keep still because of Jerusalem until her righteousness shines like a bright light, and her salvation like a flaming torch. Nations will see your righteousness and kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the Lord's mouth will announce. You will be a glorious crown in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the palm of the Lord. This is the word of God.
The second Bible reading is taken from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Let us hear the word of God. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full right of sons. Because you are God's sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Here ends the second Bible reading.
Beloved in Christ, please be upstanding as we read the gospel reading, which is taken from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2, reading from verse 22 to 40. Luke chapter 2, verse 22 to 40. Jesus presented in the temple. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and prayer. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Here ends our gospel reading.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Eternal God, we thank you for this end of year service. We just want to bless your name for the great things you have done in our lives, even in those days and weeks and months in which we had to go through the valley of the shadow of death. You were with us. So this morning we say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. This is the song of each one of us. We pray in the name of Jesus that once again you will visit us with the grace of your presence as we speak and as we listen. Lord, let your word alone be spoken. Let your word alone be heard. Bring glory to your name and bless your children. We ask this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Praise the Lord. It's a joy and a pleasure to be here. I'd like to thank my colleague and senior, as he likes me to call him, Asofo Jonathan Mensah. He's growing old. Of course, I'm also growing old, but I say it's growing old because I wasn't a year behind you. I was 2 years behind you. But it's a joy to be here and to see all of you and to share in the blessing of the end of year service, the wonderful sketch that your children gave us. Children are children, as you know, they behave as such. As you were enjoying, some of them were fighting at the back. That was interesting. Now, because it's the last Sunday of the year, I'm going to mention Ebenezer, but I thought I would speak on the spirit of praise and thanksgiving. And Ebenezer is part of that story. Because in 1 Samuel 7, the Lord had led Israel through battles. Sometimes they had experienced defeat. So one time after they were able to overcome their arch enemies, the Philistines, under the leadership of Samuel, they established a memorial stone, as they had done many times in the past, and called it Ebenezer. Thus far has the Lord led us. And each one of us may have a story that can speak to the word Ebenezer. The Lord has led us to the end of the year 2014. We are almost there. And we need to give him thanks and praise. We need to return thanks and praise to God. If we had the time for testimonies, each one of us, no matter how difficult aspect of life may have been, would have had something to be grateful to God for. If matters were left entirely to my personal discretion, today would have been set aside simply for praise and thanksgiving. In the diary of the Methodist Church, Ghana, the theme for today is simply Ebenezer. Hitherto has the Lord led us, and as a people, we have been through a lot. Some of it may have been self-inflicted. Others come from poor and myopic decision-making. Wherever the troubles came from, in the words of St. Paul, rejoice in the Lord always, I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, because he is faithful. That is what Ebenezer means. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving has to do with appreciation. When we give thanks, we acknowledge what contributions God and others have made to our lives. Yesterday morning, I was in this chapel to celebrate the 70th birthday of Mrs. Comfort Asumening. And there may well be other people celebrating different milestones, promotions, retirement, safe travels, successful wedding ceremonies, childbirths, recoveries from ill health, and even depending on how you look at it and the circumstances surrounding it, peaceful home calls of loved ones. I have my own story too. Sometime early this year, I received an invitation from one of the leading Wesleyan seminaries in the world, Asbury Theological Seminary, to speak at their graduation, which I graciously accepted. But a month to the day, I received a second letter asking whether I was going to accept an honorary Doctor of Divinity degree from them. Said yes. If it's from Asbury, yes. So I accepted it. And the installation was done on the 24th of May this year, which was actually John Wesley's day, and I'm Methodist. So it meant a lot to me. So I have my own testimony too. The family of the late Reverend Professor Christian J. Biter is also here to give thanks to God for the illustrious memory of a great man who served his people, his country, and served God's church. Ultimately, gratitude belongs to God because he's the source of life, preservation, hope, and salvation. Next year, I have told the Tema Joint Church, where I worship, that we should no longer call our major Thanksgiving event a harvest. That is colloquial. It's a day of thanksgiving. Harvest comes with a sense of taking and receiving. But thanksgiving tells people you are here to return gratitude to God for great things he has done. So we are moving away from harvest to thanksgiving. In the process, you also receive your blessings. When you give, God gives back. One of my own favorite hymns is Charles Wesley's Thee Will I Praise With All My Heart. It summarizes the story of thanksgiving as a Christian option. Thee will I praise with all my heart and tell mankind how good thou art, how marvelous thy works of grace. Thy name I will in songs record, and joy and glory in my Lord extolled above all thanks and praise. Hallelujah. In the same spirit, Psalm 150 concludes with the words, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We ought then to cultivate the spirit of thanksgiving. I use the expression spirit of thanksgiving in two senses. First, it refers to a human activity. The first sense, spirit, I spell with a small s, and refers to a human activity, as in, for example, possessing a spirit of appreciation. There are people who have no sense of gratitude. That spirit of ingratitude is usually a symptom of a much deeper problem. Envy, self-conceitedness, covetousness, and greed. The extreme forms of these character traits may in some sense be described as witchcraft. If you have a spirit of ingratitude, you cannot wish others well. And so if you have the opportunity, you like to destroy them. And that is witchcraft. A number of years ago, I had the responsibility of delivering to an uncle a vehicle donated by his nephew who lived abroad. The nephew had lived with this uncle during his school days. And in appreciation, he bought for him what I thought was a really nice car. I had praised not only the nephew for his thoughtful gesture, but I also said a lot about how nice the car looked without actually saying what type of car it was. When the vehicle was eventually delivered, I personally delivered it. The uncle's first comments were, "Osofo pa, na saka yi na wo se eyefe." Is this the vehicle you have so highly commended? But this is not extraordinary. I was terribly disappointed. Disappointed in those comments by this uncle of my friend. My view was that even if the vehicle was below his expectation, he should have first appreciated the spirit or heart behind the gesture rather than concentrate on the physical appearance of the gift itself. The second sense in which I use the expression spirit of thanksgiving is that the Holy Spirit of God is a spirit of thanksgiving. He is the one who inspires us to give thanks. So those who have the Spirit of God in them are people who are always gracious and grateful people. In other words, God's Holy Spirit is a spirit of thanksgiving. He moves people to give thanks. A useful example of this is found in the events we have been celebrating and about which we have heard in the gospel. In Luke 2:25-31, we read about Simeon, who received the baby Jesus in the temple. We are told that this righteous and devout man was waiting for the consolation of Israel. It means he was waiting for the Christ. The Holy Spirit, we are told, had revealed to him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. In verse 27, Simeon is moved by the Spirit, and these are the words of Scripture. Moved by the Spirit, he enters the temple courts. The Holy Spirit inspires Simeon to understand that what he had been waiting for has now been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. God's Spirit is a spirit of discernment. He will help you to know that people have been gracious to you and give you the spirit of thanksgiving. So Simeon takes the baby Jesus in his arms and prays, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Hallelujah to Jesus. It is by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that Simeon was able to discern what God was doing. It is by the power of the Spirit that he was able to show gratitude to God for extending his life as a living witness to the birth of Christ. If we encounter anybody who does not have a sense of appreciation, the problem comes from something more fundamental. He or she does not have the Spirit of God in him. To understand what I'm saying, simply consider even the number of times that the expression glory is used in the birth narratives of Christ. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." The angel said, "Glory to God in the highest." The shepherds, we are told, returned, glorifying and praising God. And there are several more. In Psalm 103, which I read, we find what it means to have a spirit of thanksgiving. The tone is set in verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, all that is within me, bless his holy name." The key expressions that the psalmist uses in this opening verse are two. My soul, that part of your being that gives you life and identifies you as one created in the image of God. At creation, we are told that God breathed into the nostrils of the created model and the human person became a living soul. Your soul is that which differentiates you from the created order. And so if your soul is thankful or praising God, it means your appreciation comes from the very ground of your being. It is not superficial. It is not hypocritical. It comes from the very ground of your being. My soul. All that is within me is the next one. All that is within me is simply to say my praise and thanksgiving, as I have noted, are not superficial. It is as if the psalmist is saying, "I'll bless you from the very depths of my heart." That sort of praise is not hypocritical, I repeat. It comes from the bottom of the heart, and it is unreserved because it also involves the emotions. If you consider the story I told you at the beginning, you find that this uncle may thank his nephew, but the thanksgiving may not come from his heart, because the truth was that the gift was not appreciated. Those sorts of praises and thanksgiving are what I'm calling superficial and hypocritical. They do not come from the heart of the person. The New International Version of Scripture enables us to understand better what the New Revised Standard Version refers to as "all that is within me." In the NIV, it says, "all my inmost being." Praise the Lord. Inmost being then, as the NIV explains, refers to that which is deep, sincere, genuine, and above all, heartfelt. It refers to praise and thanksgiving that is offered both in the good times and in the bad times. When you are up, as well as when you are down. When the sun is shining, as well as when there is rain. The reason is because we know that God is always in control. Hallelujah. It makes the words of the prophet Habakkuk in chapter 3, 17 to 19 very meaningful. "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like that of a deer. He enables me to go on to heights." That's Habakkuk. So this is where grace comes in. To be truly thankful, you need the grace of God to appreciate what he has done. The spirit of praise and thanksgiving, if it flows out of the heart, does not pay attention to the circumstances of life. So the invitation of praise from the psalm is actually based on certain real experiences. He proceeds to outline those experiences on the basis of his spirit of praise. So from verses 3 to 6, the basis for the praise and thanksgiving are outlined clearly. Who forgives all your sins? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things, that your youth is renewed like the eagles? Who works righteousness and justice for the oppressed? The sum total of all that the psalmist is saying here is that the Lord is a great deliverer. This is a psalm that invites us to praise God because he's the God of our salvation. He does not only deliver from sins, but he also brings people out of disgrace and mediates justice to those without help. Thus, in Psalm 111, verse 3 and verse 9, we read, "Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Again, if we may return to Psalm 103, verses 8 to 10. The psalmist outlines some of the virtues that are unique to God. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquity. In verse 13, the psalmist notes, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. In other words, God knows that we are weak and frail. And to have the enablement to serve him and cultivate the spirit of praise and thanksgiving, we need to depend on his Holy Spirit. He knows how we are formed. But from everlasting to everlasting, the psalmist continues, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. In other words, the blessings of God are generational. And we have living testimonies here this morning. God handles his people with a certain empathetic understanding that we are weak and frail. Beyond that, how you serve God today may determine the grace your children receive tomorrow, because his blessings can be generational. What does the spirit of thanksgiving do? First, it helps you to appreciate God for who he is and what he means to you. And you first need to know who God is. You need to have a good sense of how great, how majestic God is before you can come to an understanding of what he means to you. That's why in the olden days when they put up cathedrals, they built them such that when you stand in there, you are completely overwhelmed. You look at the ceiling and you know that this is in honor of one who can be called his majesty. That's why they were made that way. So, thanksgiving, the spirit of thanksgiving, helps you to appreciate God for who he is. And then you can come to an understanding of what he means to you. Psalm 103 verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Some kingdoms are transient. That's why in the book of Revelation 21 verse 5, it says, he who sits on the throne. They are thrones that are temporal. Sometimes we handle them as if they are permanent. But the definite article in front of throne in Revelation is important. There are thrones, and then there is the throne. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. What thanksgiving and praise help you to do is you don't become self-conceited, because you know that it does not depend on you. Hallelujah. You praise God because you know that he is by your side. By the grace of God, I am what I am, is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:10. Secondly, what thanksgiving does is that it creates opportunities for you. This is the central lesson of the gospel of eternal purpose. It is significant that the one who returned to give thanks was named as a Samaritan, one who does not belong. The others were Jews. They took their healing for granted. The Samaritan came back. In life, it is important to recognize the contributions that others make to our lives. I was counseling a couple and I listened to the story of the gentleman, and after he had spoken for almost 30 minutes, I reminded him that the young lady you married also has a family. So the fact that you paid for everything doesn't mean that you own her and you can treat her any way you like. I hope you won't do that. Okay. You look like a good man. They may be your husband, your wife, your children, but when they do things for us, thanksgiving is a great moral booster that enables people to do things without even counting the costs. The spirit of ingratitude leads to anger, stress, and bitterness. An ungrateful soul can never be a happy one. So if you think you are making life difficult for others, know that you also not be happy. In a short time, it may be like you are winning, but I tell you are a loser, because God is faithful and he's always on the side of the weak. Thirdly, the spirit of thanksgiving takes bitterness and pain out of your soul. If you want to be a happy person in this life, cultivate the spirit of praise and thanksgiving. Because the spirit of praise and thanksgiving takes bitterness out of the soul. A bitter soul, I have said, can easily turn demonic. Because demons are spirits of destruction. Those who go through life bitter are usually jealous and never wish others well. If you do not wish others well, the logical step is to seek to undermine, and if the opportunity presents itself, you want to destroy them. A person with a spirit of ingratitude is also very proud. It's the kind of spirit that we see displayed by the servant who was given a single talent. It is pride that led him to tell the master, "You reap where you have not sowed." If you feel too big to appreciate what others have done for you, it is impossible to appreciate what God has done for you. The reason is simple. God works through people. So, friends, today I'd like you to cultivate the spirit of praise and thanksgiving. God has made us for himself, and the ways in which we stay in his presence is through praise and thanksgiving. May your spirit of praise and thanksgiving, as you end the year, bring you healing and salvation from all the pain that you experience. So from pain, may you receive relief. Amen. Amen. From bitterness, I pray God's peace upon you. From confusion, receive clarity of thought. From lack, may you move on to abundance. From poverty, may God elevate you to prosperity. From tears, may the Lord grant you laughter. From failure, you will know success. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Let me leave my final words to Charles Wesley. The Lord will save his people here. In times of need, their help is near. To all by sin and hell oppressed, and they that know thy name will trust, they will trust in thee, who to thy promise just, has never, never left a soul distressed. Amen. Amen. God bless you, and I wish you a blessed Christmas. We are still in the Christmas season. When we enter the new year, may the Lord look upon you with favor. Amen. Amen.